desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you may be in the world, and all its time zones, which we cover so readily. I'm Art Bell, and this, of course, is Coast to Coast AM in the Nighttime on Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, that would seem like a good day to have a witch on, wouldn't it? And boy, do we have a witch for you. Evelyn Paglini, the real McCoy, all her life is a real witch. Now, preceding programs like this, I always get emails like the one I've got here. Because Art Bell, you are a godless man. I've been a listener a long time, but tomorrow night I shall not listen. Referring to my promotion of the show tonight. Having a witch on. Can't believe it. Well, yes. Actually, I'm not godless. I'm a libertarian. And we'll talk more about that. I really am probably a Christian in a sense. I believe in God or a creator. I definitely do. But I also think that magic is real. So magic is real. And so where does that come from? Well, I don't know. You know, the Christians have a pat answer. It comes from down there, right? So we're going to be talking about that, and it's a particularly interesting program tonight because we're going to talk about mirrors. And this is a subject, mirror magic. It's a subject that I broached some time ago on the show, probably a few months ago, because mirrors would appear to be the key to the infinite. They certainly may be a doorway to the infinite. And whether it's Michio Kaku's multi-dimensions, which, by the way, we're going to have to take Lifeboat 2 one day, according to last night's program, or it's all going to be gone. Gone, gone, gone. It's the way it's all going to end. Fire and ice. Wasn't that some program? All right, let's look at a few things around the world right now, all right? U.S. officials struck a double blow Friday in the war on terrorism, capturing an overseas fugitive suspected of helping organize these September 11 attacks and breaking up of a suspected terrorist cell. They found one in the suburbs of Buffalo. Oh, really? Buffalo, New York. We heard there an Al-Qaeda cell in a suburb of Buffalo, New York. Well, there's something to think about. Wonder if there's one here in Trump. Secretary of State Colin Powell gained diplomatic support for the strong U.S. stand against Saddam Hussein, winning approval Friday from all members of the UN Security Council for President Bush's assertion that Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein poses a threat to international security. Still, Bush says he doubts Saddam is going to give up his weapons, even in the face of U.N. demands or the U.S. threat of military force. Dr. Kaku thought he might and allow the inspectors back in. I kind of doubt it myself. In Florida, Janet Reno has run for governor. Didn't exactly burn him down there. She's requesting a statewide recount Friday of every single vote in Florida's botched primary, but they promptly turned that down, said no way. Any votes unfound for you that might be found will count, but we're not recounting here. Three men in Florida, big story on CNN during the day. Three men in Florida were overheard talking about a terrorist plot, allegedly. They were pulled over and detained for 17 hours Friday while authorities probably took apart every single panel and piece and part of their car. Medical students in Florida. Now, they thought they were joking around, I guess, and allegedly said some things in a restaurant that a lady overheard, and she called authorities, and they were stopped on, I think it was Route 17, and they had a real bad day. Now, joking around about bringing down buildings or a terrorist attack in the presence of others is not not a very wise thing to be doing, is it? It's akin to standing in line at the airport, you know, to get on the plane and start joking around about a bomb. Bad juju. They will take you, and you will not be the same for a long time. It's not a good idea to do that. Senator Patrick Leahy during the day said that it's worth asking whether the current outbreak of West Nile virus around the country might not be the work of bioterrorists. As you know, West Nile is spreading virtually everywhere. I'm in one of the last remaining states that has not felt its presence yet, and that's no doubt because mosquitoes don't like the desert. You know, it's they need a little humidity and standing water and that kind of thing, and that's almost everywhere. Believe me, there is no water standing out here. So we don't have West Nile yet. Knock on pressed wood. But the senator thinks it might be bioterrorism, and you got to think about it a little bit. It just might. Oh, somebody sent me an interesting, you know, my position on this terrorist thing. As far as I'm concerned, we kill before we're killed. And somebody sent me this I thought interesting. He says, Art, in order to avoid killing, that's what animals do. We should avoid it. We're men, not animals. Killing in order to avoid killing, or killing to avoid being killed, is what animals do, and we're not animals. We're created in God's image, and this isn't a godly thing. We're not created in the image of the beast, 666. So, you know, he's saying we shouldn't do that. That's the old turn the other national cheek argument. Once you've been slapped real hard with a couple buildings down and thousands of Americans dead, you want to turn. He wants to turn the other cheek. And I don't know what that would be for, but probably nothing good. Buzz Aldrin, of course, you know about that story. A guy came up to Buzz and wanted him to swear. This was like the fourth time around. Wanted him to swear in a Bible he went to the moon. Buzz is alleged to have giving the guy a good right hand. Matter of fact, he did. The guy's name is Sibrel, who got cold cocked, said he'd confronted Aldrin twice before and was surprised that Aldrin reacted the way he did this time. He said, quote, I was very surprised that he hit me, although it was a foolish thing for him to have done in front of two video cameras. Continuing the quote, he has a good punch. It was quick, too. I didn't see it coming. End quote. Yeah, it just may be that Buzz and the other astronauts are being tired, just getting bone tired of being asked whether or not they really did what they, you know, in other words, they're saying put your hand on a Bible and swear you're not a liar. Stay right there, we'll be right back. Well, all right. Here's the libertarian part of me coming out. This is really an interesting story from Crescent City, Associated Press. Here in Nevada, my state, they love gambling, tolerate prostitution, and now they're talking about legalizing pot. A measure on the ballot November 5th would make Nevada the first state to allow adults to possess marijuana up to 3 ounces, enough for maybe 100 joints. People over 21 would be allowed to smoke it in their homes, but not cars, not public places. Pot would be sold in state-licensed smoke shops and taxed just like cigarettes. The sponsor of the bill said this initiative will allow the police to spend more time going after murderers, rapists, and other violent criminals. Billy Rogers is a leader of the group that's pushing the measure. I probably ought to have him on the air. Whether it could take effect, of course, is unclear because the feds, you know, have their drug war going. Nevada is home of the nation's gambling capital, Las Vegas. And we've always had a fondness for what others forbid here. Although prostitution is banned in Las Vegas itself, Reno and Carson City, and in 49 states, it is legal in 10 of Nevada's 17 counties, including the one I live in. The vote on marijuana represents a remarkable, truly remarkable about-face in my state's attitude towards pot. A year ago, Nevada had one of the nation's strictest marijuana laws. Possession of a single joint, even a little seed or something, was a felony and could put you, felony, that's right, and could put you in jail for a year or more. In 2000, Nevada voters approved the use of medical marijuana, and the legislature voted in 2001 to make possession of less than an ounce pot a misdemeanor punishable by up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine. Now get this. Opinion polls on the marijuana measure here in my state show Nevadans almost evenly split, with opponents gaining ground. Wow. So the people behind this bill are gaining ground with the public. Well, they've got my support. It's time to end the madness. It is more than time to end the madness. And I would be proud if my state, which is full of a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of rebellious kind of people in Nevada. They're not in a liberal sense so much, but just libertarian. In other words, you know, I'll leave you alone, you leave me the hell alone kind of attitude. And so here in Nevada, as surprising and shocking as it might be, considering we had the stiffest laws against marijuana in the country, I think the public is about ready to say, time to end the madness. And I'm not talking about reefer madness. I'm talking about the madness of a drug war that has aspects to it that I think are more hurtful than helpful. In other words, a child, perhaps 13, 14 years old, we all know in the real world here, is going to be exposed to marijuana. The advertising is going to tell them they're going to be hooked, they're going to become a druggie, they're going to, you know, go nuts, they're going to, whatever all it is they say about marijuana these days. And we tell them this, and we tell them how horrible it is and addictive and all the rest of it, and it's not. And then they try it. And because they've been told one lie, it's much easier, in my opinion, for them to make the next step and go on to, whatever, crack cocaine, heroin, whatever else they would then conclude we had lied about. So I think it's insane to continue the war on drugs as it is presently constituted. That doesn't mean that I don't think that other drugs should not be, in other words, that government doesn't have a place in regulation with regard to a certain kinds of drugs that are very clearly addictive. Because I do think they've got a place, but not with marijuana. Not with marijuana. And so I'm very much in support of this, and if I can find this person, who is he? Billy Rogers? I'd like to have him on the air. So Billy, or whoever supports Billy, by all means, let's have him on the air here, and let him have his say. I would be very proud if my state was the first to, as I put it, end the madness. Jails are filling up with people who are smoking pot. It's ridiculous. We've got enough really tough crime out there to pursue. Art, this is an email. You mentioned your guest for Friday night would be talking about something you called mirror magic, and it reminded me that you had expressed some fascination with the idea of mirrors having certain paranormal qualities. Yeah, you bet. It occurred to me that if you really wanted to find out, beauty salons have lots of mirrors facing each other, each and every way. People who have worked in those places, or even customers, would have had certain types of experiences. If there are such properties, wouldn't they? One would expect so. Also, how about antique shops? That's a good point. So I wonder if people who have worked in places where there are always mirrors would have more to say on this subject than others. You would expect so if the paranormal qualities attributed that I think are in me. Why do I think that? Well, have you ever taken, and this came up on a prior show, a video camera and pointed it at the monitor that is displaying the image from the video camera? What will result is a gazillion images, kind of like a giant wormhole. In fact, it'll even kind of, if you're not right at the right angle, it'll curve around just like a wormhole would. And if some magic is real, and I think some magic is real, how ungodly, right? I do think some magic is real, and that's why I've got Evelyn coming on. But we'll see. It's a very, very interesting subject, and if any of you have comments here in the first hour on the subject, I'd love to hear them. By the way, on one other note, the voltage on my antenna. I have not yet to really made a careful determination about what I've got, other than measuring on a voltmeter. What I've got to do is bring the oscilloscope that I've got at work home, the radio station, bring it home and look at the waveform and try and decide exactly what it is that I've got here. I can do that. And probably, well, in the meantime, I've ordered bleeder resistors and driven some stakes in the ground, and I am going to rid my antenna of that obnoxious voltage. It will always be there, and I'll only have to take the resistors off for it to return. But in terms of the purpose for which I'm going to use this monster antenna, I don't want that voltage on there. So I shall bleed it away to ground before it enters the home. A red-tailed hawk collided with a Sylvania, Washington woman's pickup truck and went on a rampage after the bird-loving motorist freed its wing from the side-view mirror. The hawk flew inside the truck, bit the woman's lip, then sank its talons into her right arm, refusing to let go. "Every time I touched that bird, it gripped harder," said the woman, who drove to a nearby gas station where firefighters and wildlife experts were called to pull the hawk off her. By the way, the woman's name is Julie Wing. I once had a seagull grab a hamburger down in Santa Barbara. A seagull flew right to the side window, bold as you please. I was sitting at a little, in a parking lot of a burger joint. I was eating my hamburger, and this little sucker flew right perched on the window, grabbed my burger, and split. It's the only experience I've had. Then finally, this thought. Think about this. The number of physicians in the United States is 700,000. Accidental deaths caused by those physicians per year is 120,000. Accidental deaths per physician would be 0.171. according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Now, consider. A, the number of gun owners in the United States is 80 million. 80 million compared to 700,000 physicians, right? 80 million. The number of accidental gun deaths per year, all age groups considered, is 1,500. The number of accidental deaths per gun owner is 0.000188. So, statistically, doctors are approximately 9,000 times more dangerous than gun owners. Fact, not everyone has a gun, but almost everyone has at least one doctor. So, please alert your friends to this alarming threat. We must ban doctors before this gets out of hand. As a public health measure, I have withheld these statistics on lawyers for fear of the shock that it might cause to people who might otherwise seek medical attention or who would then be required to. All right, we'll break here and then we'll do open lines through the top of the hour. The Witch, Evelyn Paglini, will be here tonight. Stay right where you are. in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, this is what I call an up song. You know, this will get your blood going. It's, of course, the Grassroots. I got to introduce the Grassroots on stage one time, a long time ago, many years ago, in Anchorage, Alaska. And it was a blast. What a concert that was. I mean, you got to admit, this song just plain rocks. All those years have gone by, and baby, it still rocks. Just one more little item, and then we'll go to open lines here. This is a pretty interesting story. It's MSNBC, so that you know I don't make all this up. MSNBC reports, Russian officials claim credit for rain. Light showers relieve smoke-choked Moscow. But how? Moscow, September 6th, the day after acrid smoke from forest and peat fires blanketed Moscow, a light rain Friday cleared the air, and the government claimed the credit. The Emergency Situations Ministry said that it drew rain clouds to the smog-shrouded capital and created showers by switching on, listen now, a cube-shaped piece of equipment 3 feet on each side that sits atop a ministry building in western Moscow. They show a picture of this thing. Yes, we did it, said Minister Spokesman Viktor Beltsov, proudly, of the drizzle that did bring relief. In fact, after several rainless weeks, he said the ministry kept the device working Friday in an effort to repeat the initial success. It was the first time the ministry had used the ionizer, a device developed by its research institute that cranks out electrically charged atoms. The institute's director, Mikhail, I wouldn't even try his last name, said the device, a metal cage crisscrossed by tungsten wire, emits a vertical flow of oxygen ions that stir the air and raise humidity. He said, quote, the flow of ions blew a hole in the smog layer and drove its particles up higher. At the next stage, oxygen ions concentrated humidity and voila, rain. So there the Russians are again, and they actually show this large cage, as described, mounted on top of a building. It's an MSNBC article entitled, Russian Officials Claim Credit for Rain. Isn't that wild? Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on.
Hi, Art.
This is it.
Hi, Art. This is Jason in Door County.
Hi, Jason.
First of all, I appreciate the line. Second, I gotta say, I don't get to listen to you very often, so if my theory's been discussed already, feel free to cut me off. On the topic of zero-point energy,
yes,
I find it kind of ironic that you've done these studies with the collective consciousness or mass consciousness.
Yes.
Where things have come, and if I'm correct, zero-point energy is a source of energy that physicists can't explain, but they know exists.
It's all connected, sir.
Yes, I believe that mass consciousness is that zero-point energy.
Well, either that or it's a conduit for it. But at this point, I think all we know is that it's real and that it's all connected. That's what I would say to what you've just said. I agree with you completely. I think the work that remote viewers do is in the same collective oneness, the same area of connectiveness, if that's the right term, and I think it is, connectivity. And that ultimately all of these answers are going to point in the same direction. And that's probably where the zero point comes from. Sure, I buy into that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Bruce in Toronto. I want to ask you a quick question, and I'll pose a scenario. Do you consider global climate change to be a threat to international security?
Hell yes.
Okay. Well, here's the scenario. The United States being the largest emitter of greenhouse gases, which seems to be responsible for large part of what's happening with climate change.
Well, no, wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. I did say that I believe firmly the climate is changing, that it poses a national security threat, but I don't absolutely agree that what man is doing is necessarily what's causing the change. It could be, I would give equal possibility to that and the just a natural process of change. I mean, we know, you know, little flowers in the mouths of woolly mammoths and all that stuff. That's right. I mean, it's happened before, rapid climate change. So yeah. I don't know what to ascribe it to. I'm giving equal weight to both possibilities.
But you would concede that it's entirely possible that the man-made component is significant. Or,
Yep, it's possible.
And the United States is, in fact, one of the largest emitters of greenhouse.
Indeed, yes.
Greenhouse gases, and
yes.
You have a president who has refused to say he has no intention of signing the Kyoto Accord.
That's right.
So what I would suggest is that the UN should issue a resolution demanding that the United States sign the Kyoto Accord within, I don't know, maybe we'll give you 3 months.
Or
we'll put together a coalition of forces and send them in and depose your leader, which is what you guys want to do in Iraq. And the reason that I think that we should do that is because I'm one of those people who believes what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right, thanks. Why not? We'll smoke on that one for a while. The world invades the U.S. The U.N. Demands that we sign the Kyoto Accord. Well, I mean, it's not like a mandatory thing. You could either sign or not. I mean, that was rule, right? We didn't sign. That's okay. Might not be okay in terms of what it causes if what he believes is true is true. But having the U.N. with an invasion force coming in? I don't think so. You know what I have to say about the U.N.? I think the U.N. building is really nice in New York. It's a very cool building. If you look at the U.N., it's a nice building. That's about all I can say about the U.N. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Andrea in Montrose, California.
Hello, Andrea.
Yeah, about the mirrors.
Ah, the mirrors.
And also about dead druids. But first about the mirrors.
Dead druids?
Dead druids. Well, I can mention that first.
Is that like a rock group? The dead druids?
Hey, you know, I thought you just mentioned something. locally... it's a place called Altadena. It's above Pasadena. And a friend of mine was written up in a local paper, an ancient archaeology magazine, about finding a stone marker written by Druids and Celts 1,500 years ago in memory of one of their number that died 1,500 years ago in this area of Southern California.
Well, I'd definitely be a dead druid.
That would be a dead druid, and... of course, there's a lot of controversy.
All right, on to your first topic.
Okay, well, there's something called a dark mirror.
A dark mirror.
And it has to do with fortune-telling, but also I think it's something like...
Well, you know, when in your car, when you flip your visor on modern cars, it goes to a darker mirror so that people's bright lights behind you don't bug you, right? Is that kind of dark mirror? You mean that kind of dark mirror?
No, this is actually something called scrying.
Okay, we're going to cover scrying. I'm not totally sure what scrying is, but that's one of the subjects we're going to cover with Evelyn tonight with regard to mirrors.
I think it's a bit like a Ouija board, too, that you get spirits out if you're not careful. So.
Well, it's a way of opening... I think, you know, did you hear what I said about the monitor and the camera and how you get this long, curved, apparent infinity of picture after picture after picture? Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
It is so cool. I think that's, there's an answer there somewhere. In other words, somewhere there's some sort of probable opening that's created by the infinite nature of mirrors. Yes, it's going to be a very interesting program. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just spiffy.
Pleasure to speak with you after all these years listening
to
you.
Thank you very much.
I'm calling in regards to a photographic phenomenon. I recently bought my wife a digital camera, and
yes.
I took a picture of a dolphin. I'm calling from down here in Florida.
Right.
And when I went up to show her the picture, in the top left-hand corner, there's two people. There's a man and a woman, and the woman is, like, holding her hands in front of her mouth, like if you were shouting at somebody.
Yes, yes.
And on the other side, where the splash is coming from the dolphin, there's a clear picture of a skull. And, you know, the first time I saw this, you know, I was like, you know, what's going on here? And everyone I've shown it to, I've never told them, you know, I've never told them what's on the picture. I say, what do you see? And they all see it. Since then, I've captured two other pictures that are pretty much the same thing. One of them is of Jesus. I mean, a clear picture of Jesus. And that comes out. I'm wondering, I don't know what's going on. I've never heard you cover this topic on any of your shows, but...
No, I haven't. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm very open-minded, so send me copies.
Okay.
In email. I'm artbell@mindspring.com.
Okay.
All right? Artbell, A-R-T-B-E-L, at mindspring.com. Send them to me, and I will put them on the website with your permission, and we shall judge what you have done.
Yeah, most definitely. I've been trying to get a hold of you to get that, you know, to see if you'd like me to send them to you, because I'd like someone to analyze them that knows what they're doing.
I don't know that I know what I'm doing, but I absolutely will subject them to public scrutiny for you, all right?
Okay.
Consider it done. Send them. Just happened to catch Jesus trucking around. Well, maybe he caught a little slice of time. I don't know. The modern era of computers and digital cameras and things that are going faster and faster and much higher resolution, it's all leading in an interesting direction. And in fact, as we exceed the capability of the human eye, we begin to see things that the human eye doesn't see. Doesn't that make sense? And as we look in infrared and other spectrums that the human eye doesn't perceive without help, then, sure enough, we may begin to see things that normal human eyes don't see. Because they're there. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Doing okay, sir.
Good. Yeah, I'd just like to say that for sure murdering innocent people would not be very godly, and I think anybody from every religion would agree to that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, but is it murder when it's self-defense?
Right. Well, you know, if evidence isn't a requirement for you, Art, to figure out who is evil, why not just suggest murdering more people in New York? They're closer. I mean, you want to stand behind the FBI and the investigations that they've concluded, as well as the CIA. You know, the evidence stands before ourselves, irrespective of your opinion.
Who would you stand by?
I said it stands irrespective.
I know, I said who would you stand by?
Well, I'd stand by the evidence that NBC has brought forward, that 2 days prior to 9/11, at the White House, existed a war strategy to invade specifically Afghanistan with a prerequisite strategy of blaming Bin Laden for a crime but providing no evidence.
So what,
in addition
then,
to that,
then, okay, sir, then who, wait a minute, hold on. Listen, I will hang up on you. Warning one,
okay,
if you don't have a conversation with me,
okay.
Who do you think blew up the buildings?
Well, we have to go by what the FBI has provided.
You just said we don't have to go by that. So who do you think blew up the buildings?
Well, it was caused by the planes that smashed into the mark, but I'm saying the FBI was.
Oh, come on, duh. I said, who is behind blowing up those buildings, in your opinion?
Well, I follow what the FBI has informed me on.
Oh, you're a living contradiction, because you just said you don't believe what the FBI...
I'm saying that you won't pay attention to what the FBI is saying on behalf of the Americans.
Well, you care what I think. What do you care what I think? I care what you think. Who do you think blew up the buildings? I'm asking one last time.
There's uncertainty there. There's uncertainty. We know that the FBI was forbidden from pursuing Bin Laden investigations just prior to 9/11, after the administration had been warned and they put together.
Give me a break. Goodbye. We as a matter of fact, did attack one prior time in a prior administration. We attacked Afghanistan. We knew damn well what was going on over there. Not when they would hit exactly, but we knew what was going on over there. We knew the extremists were had camps going, and that they wanted to kill us, and they proceeded to prove that. I'm not exactly sure where that conversation was going. He was trying to be real as anti-American as he could. But when pressed for the evidence or even the names, which he claims our own FBI, CIA, and the entire government can't properly come up with, he didn't have any idea, wasn't willing to say one of the two. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Hi, listening to you, WGY 810, Schenectady, New York.
Yes, sir.
Mansfield, Ohio.
You are welcome.
I've listened to you and your good doctor talk about how Jupiter catches many of the asteroids for us.
Well, because of its massive gravity, yes.
Now, I would like to suggest a dramatic badminton game that would be far more difficult, but could NASA pick out some of the small asteroids headed towards us and deliberately impact them on the moon where the people could see them impact and leave a tiny mark on there and maybe even make a small difference in the velocity of the moon, which would make our binary gravity system take on a different velocity if we wish to do certain things?
That sounds like NASA's project to move the Earth away from the sun for global warming, then move it back after it gets cool. I'm sorry, but I think that's madness. He's suggesting that we deliberately direct asteroids to hit our moon, changing its orbit. Now, this is probably a really bad idea because you just don't know what's going to happen. Now, the moon is up there in its orbit for a specific celestial reason of some sort or another, and if we should change that or by mistake hedge it our way, or hedge it out into deep space, and then all of a sudden our tides go away. I mean, there's just no end of the things that could happen. Most of them absolutely negative. I wouldn't think that's a real good idea. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, it's Darlene.
Hello, Darlene.
Hi. Is this Art?
Good guess.
Oh, well, I couldn't tell because I had the radio on and I just turned it down.
Good girl.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about the mirrors.
Yes.
Well, I'm 53, and when I was maybe 8 years old, I had this really cool dresser where I could sit in front of it and see infinity if I pulled the two side mirrors together.
Yes.
So that you can see zillions of yourself.
Yes.
I somehow stepped into that mirror.
Yeah, and here we go.
Yeah, it was really strange.
Well, you stepped into the mirror. Do you recall the sensations or the effect? Or I mean,
I remember being inside looking out. And
really?
Yeah, and I remember that if I crossed into these different images of the mirror, it was like different dimensions.
Yes.
But I had to keep where I could see myself.
Yes, I was going to say, you know, the big worry for me, if I were able to do that, would be that I'd get lost.
Well, it happened.
Get lost? Oh, really?
Because my mother, yes, my mother knocked on my bedroom door, and it scared the bejesus out of me, because I was inside the mirror.
Maybe that's the only reason you're here right now.
Well, half of me was for many years, but I had an alchemical regression to retrieve that girl that I left the living daylights, I call her, in the mirror. Because when my mom knocked on my door, I, of course, right away answered her. But I got out, and the other part of me didn't.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes, I do. I just said my fear would be that I'd get, you know, once you're two or three images deep, if you could really travel within,
exactly,
you would never know what you were looking back at. And unless you were at that first same image looking at yourself, you couldn't step back through. You'd be stuck forever. And oh, my.
Well, it was really strange because I started having, in this life, I started finding shiny things everywhere all of a sudden, and it didn't make any sense to me. And I was born psychic, so I'm used to dealing with paranormal things, but this was out of the ordinary. And this is what led me to the alchemical regression, is that these shiny things kept appearing, and I could not...
You mean you had somebody give you drugs?
No. No, it was more like... Okay, I've been working this lifetime on spiritual attainment or progression.
Listen, we're about out of time.
Okay.
So what kind of regression was it?
That's well, it was more like hypnosis.
Okay. Well, that's yes, you can be regressed hypnotically. Listen, I'm sorry, we've got to go. Evelyn Paglini, when we're back, and that'll be very shortly. Stay right there.
Falling in love was the last thing I had on my mind. Holding you is a warmth that I thought I could never find. Just trying to
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Can you walk into a mirror? That's a pretty intriguing question. What would happen if you did? I can see the possibilities if you were able to do that. I mean, after all, not just video, but audio as well offers the infinite. Have you ever played around with audio and echo? It will echo infinitely until it becomes a solid, a white noise. It will go so far, it will echo and echo and echo and echo and echo until it becomes nothing but white noise, as occurs with a video camera and monitor, or perhaps mirrors. Anyway, coming up, Evelyn Paglini, if you'll just stay right where you are, a real witch. Witchcraft. Oh, that evil witchcraft. So, parapsychologist Dr. Evelyn Paglini is one of the leading authorities on the occult and the supernatural in the United States. She was born into a centuries-old family of practitioners of the occult. At the age of 4, her grandfather began to train her in natural magic. That's an interesting phrase, too, natural magic, huh? Is that ungodlike? We're going to ask about that. In 1972, she founded the International Psychic Center, a research investigation organization, and has been called upon by an expert law enforcement agency. Actually, agencies of various sorts. She has set precedent in the Texas court system on child abuse cases with ritual overtones, worked with law enforcement on missing persons, murder cases involving the occult and supernatural, with over 40 years now in the occult and supernatural. Dr. Paglini has affiliated herself with a number of stellar organizations that complement her work. A graduate from the Chicago Institute of Hypnosis, she became part of a regression team founded by Dr. J. Allen Hynek. You know him of Project Blue Book fame. She studied and was tested. She was tested at the Foundation for the Research of the Nature of Man at Duke University with Dr. J. B. Ryan, Dr. Helmut Schmidt, and Dr. J. Levy. You know those names. Dr. Paglini clearly is gifted with many unusual and powerful talents, has helped celebrities, CEOs, stockbrokers, institutions, and the general public obtain their goals. That's interesting, isn't it? Celebrities, CEOs, stockbrokers, institutions, and the general public attain their goals. Material stuff, right? Today, many continue to learn the power of natural magic through her seminars, symposiums, workshops, and intensive audio tapes. Here is Dr. Paglini. Doctor, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me back, Art.
I will always have you back, Evelyn. Evelyn, I got an email earlier today calling me, saying that, you know, I'm a listener usually, but tonight you're going to have a witch on, and I've come to the conclusion that you're a godless man, and I shall not listen. Blah, 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 you know, let me have it. And I said, it started me thinking, let's talk about that for a second. Witchcraft, the craft, whatever you want to call it, is it godless?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, huh?
No.
Natural magic is not godless?
All things come from God. And when I try to get people into the oneness of nature and the elements, it is the God force that they are tapping into beside the divine spike within themselves.
Well, it is a force, that's for sure. That much I believe. It's certainly a force. And you really think it's connected to God in some
way? I know
way.
It is.
You know it is. Well, you know, fundamentalist Christians would say, you know, well, you know what they would say. I don't have to tell you. And they would say that unless it's laid out in the Bible, it ain't so. And what you're doing is godless.
Well, that's their misinterpretation, and I can understand that only because they have not really experienced or been exposed to it. Most of the time, it has been remained secret. They did not want to give the power to the average person out there. And so if you instill fear, people will remove themselves from it.
All right. Well, here's a good one for you then, Evelyn. If that's true, then at the highest pinnacles of various religions, let's take Catholicism because it's one of the biggies, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the West here anyway. When you look at Rome and the Pope and the Vatican and the secret knowledge that the Vatican may have squirreled away somewhere, would you think that by the time you get to be Pope or very high in the Catholic Church, you become aware that magic is real?
Absolutely.
You think there are documents and there's proof and that they understand at the high levels of the Vatican that it's real?
Oh, I know that they do. And they've also performed ritual in order to, let's say, evoke or to summon. Yes, they're very aware of magic, as
well,
most religions and most cultures out there, because magic is universal.
Well, the Catholic Church is full of very beautiful ritual, really, isn't it?
Most religions are.
But, I mean, up there at the high levels.
Yes, they do perform ceremonial magic.
You think in secret inside the Vatican?
Yes, absolutely. And that's been attested to. In fact, I believe Father Malachi Martin mentioned it.
He certainly did. I was going to mention that if you hadn't. So, yes, he certainly did. Only he, of course, ascribed it to not just the practice of natural magic, but...
No,
he was going
toward the dark side. And naturally,
yeah.
When you get into
right.
magic, you are going to be faced. Once you gain knowledge, Art, you gain power. What I'm trying to do is give the power to the people. In other words, put it in their own hands. Because it has always remained in particular societies or traditions, and they would not allow this kind of knowledge out. It's time for everybody to be able to tap into their own talent, their own resources, as well as to use, like I said, the natural forces, vibrations, and energies to achieve desired goals.
You mean like material goals, don't you?
Not just material goals, but I think that...
Well, yeah, but here it clearly says, who have you talked to? Let's see, celebrities, CEOs, stockbrokers, institutions, and the general public, and their goals. Now, what's a stockbroker's goal going to be? What's a CEO's goal going to be?
Usually it's going to be success, prosperity, better business, fame, fortune.
Yeah, that's fairly material.
Absolutely. And to gain a person's respect. Okay, in magic, you have to show them results here on the physical plane. Once they see that that can be accomplished with time, patience, energy, and discipline, they're going to go forward. That's when the spirituality really starts taking hold.
But you see, such a person as you describe might have been described by Father Malachi Martin as one of those perfectly possessed people that he spoke of, you know, the people he could pass on the street, and he knew when he looked into their eyes, they had made their deal.
Oh, yes.
And many of them, he said, were very successful, CEOs, same kind of group of people you're talking about right now, that he called them the perfectly possessed. They'd made their deal, and they're having great success in this lifetime, but what awaits them, according to the Father?
Well, yes, because, see, they have chosen not to just help themselves and their family and their friends on a positive nature. Instead, they have been using the power to manipulate, to subjugate, and the greed steps in where they want to control. Yes, they have made a deal, but that doesn't mean that the magic was bad. It meant that the person using the knowledge, their intent was on the dark side. But the magic is neutral. It's like a gun. You don't give a gun, okay, to a child, a five-year-old, because they don't understand it. They don't understand the power of it.
That's right.
Once you understand the power, certainly there's choices to be made.
Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And so there is the very negative side. We've talked about that, of course, before here, right?
Yes, we have.
So that exists, coexists.
Hand in hand.
Hand in hand with the brighter side, and so there is a godly way to manipulate material things in our real world. Is that's what you maintain, right?
Yes, for a positive outcome, where it is not harming but helping others. But then, of course, there is the choice, because with that same knowledge...
But how does that happen, Evelyn? Let's say I were to come to you and I would say, look, I've worked my way up in the company, the corporation that I'm in right now. I want to be CEO of this corporation. Presumably, you would find a way to help me out, or you would know of a way I could.
I would design a ritual that would attract to you the opportunities, colleagues, contacts, and conduits that would help you achieve that goal. I would also show you how to remove any obstacle.
Well, so okay, so then here we are. In achieving that goal, I would have to walk over quite a number of bodies. In other words, for my good fortune, somebody else who is expecting or hoping for that same good fortune would not have it.
Correct. That is correct. It gives you the edge. It certainly does.
So, you know, arguably, then... I'm not sure that fits in with the pure godly way, because you're going to go tromping over some people to get where you want to go, and there's going to be some negative effects.
But again, see, you don't have to tromp over a person. What you can do is open a door for them to find something that is going to be very satisfying, very rewarding, helping them achieve their goals.
Send them across town to work for another corporation, something like that.
Or to open up another avenue, department.
Well, when you lose a job, frequently people say, well, you know, one door closes, another door opens.
And we show you how.
We're just leading them to the door and...
No, you send them on their way, but you send them on their way in a positive action.
Uh-huh.
Where the grass is going to be greener for them.
Maybe with
where they're going to achieve better heights.
Maybe even with a golden parachute.
Absolutely.
All right. A lady called just before the top of the hour, and I know you heard her. Tonight we're going to talk some about mirrors. And, God, that got my imagination going. She said she had arranged some mirrors. so that she was looking essentially into the infinite at herself. And, oh, man, she said that, in essence, she walked into one of the images and then had the opportunity to begin to explore the various images. And the first thing that popped into my mind was, you could get in there and you could get lost. You could get into literally infinity and get lost. Your image returning to you would be everywhere. And the moment you stepped away from the second or third image, you could be lost essentially in infinity. In some, I don't know where you'd be. First of all, Evelyn, is it possible for somebody to literally step into an image?
Oh, yes. In fact, when you are using it as an aid for astral projection, this is what I would teach. For you to be able to go into a mirror and through that to be able to go into other dimensions and other realities.
Well, perhaps we should back up from here. First of all, why is there, so what is mirror magic? What is it about a mirror that has qualities that are attached to things that many of us think is abnormal? What is it about mirrors, Evelyn?
Well, first of all, anything that has a reflective surface,
yes,
can be used for mirror magic.
Like a pond.
Absolutely. Water.
Yeah, okay.
Oil. And remember when she said that she was finding everything shiny?
Yes, I do.
Okay, anything that is bronze, silver, anything that is of a polished nature can be used for mirror magic. Glass, crystals can be used for mirror magic. And I'm planting a little seed here, because as we go along, you're going to understand that when you're dealing with mirror magic, it is a portal. It is a gateway, a doorway. It's like the Stargate.
Well, I knew it.
And so with the trained mind, with the disciplined mind, and with the understanding of meditation and visualization, it is unlimitless.
Unlimited.
Unlimited. You can use it. Now, another lady had talked about the dark mirror.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about scrying and the black mirror. That's called the personal magic mirror, where you're going to use it for divination, to look into the past, the present, and the future. But you have mirrors that you can use that are right around your house, and you can use them of a positive nature. Then you can also get involved with the black mirror, the scrying mirror. And that's one that you really have to do, you know, with a full moon dedication, a chant, and after you have done that, now you're going to be able to use it for the past, the present, and the future. But then there's another group of mirrors, and those are the ones that I love to play with, and that's called the worker mirrors.
What are those?
Well, those are mirrors that after you have taken them out, and again, the full moon, a dedication and a consecration, you are able to use these mirrors in different avenues for health, okay, to work on a malfunction or a disorder within the body, to change your appearance, absolutely, to work on your form, to work on, let's say, your wrinkles, your bulges, your stamina, your strength. Also, you can definitely use it in past lives. You can use it to influence others, not only around you, but in other areas, other states, other countries. You can use it for protection, not only protection of yourself and others, but protection of your environment and your home. You can use it to remove evil. You can use it for spirit communication. And we haven't gotten into familiars and thought forms and shadow people yet.
Ah, shadow people.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You're going to find out at the end when we open up the lines. I'd love your audience to call in and explain the experiences they have had around mirrors around glass.
I know.
And see how many beings, deities, spirits have been seen in the vicinity of mirrors and glass and that which is polished.
Again, because it's some
portal.
It's some kind of opening.
So
a mirror is a particularly efficient way to render this. In other words, it's polished, it's intended to reflect image beyond that of a pond or a piece of metal or anything, or even a crystal for that matter. A mirror is fully intended to reflect an accurate rendering, yes?
Yes. That's why it's such an ancient and powerful technique. I mean, Catherine de' Medici used her magic mirror in order for her to understand what was going on in her 6th century. Now, it was taken from the Louvre. I would like to know who's using it now. Your Hindus and your Chinese used your polished bronze in order for their magic mirrors. So in every culture, they have used it. You can take an innocent child, give them a mirror, and because they can go into an altered state of consciousness, they can use their alpha brainwave rhythm. They are able to perceive not only scenes and images,
yes,
but they can also receive spirit communication through mirrors.
More easily than adults?
Oh, much more easily. Much more easily.
Yeah, I believe that. There's a hold on, Evelyn. There's something about the unmanaged mind. In other words, as we grow and we're told certain things are not possible and silly and ridiculous and don't even think about them. You know, kind of like Peter Pan, right? Some of you out there, I know, you never fully grow up. That may be a good thing. Or not, for functioning in the world. But for those who don't fully grow up like Peter Pan, you can still indulge seeing things in mirrors that others might not see. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell with Evelyn Paglini, one of our nation's leading parapsychologists, witch-type persons. We'll be right back.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Tonight we have a witch with us. It's Evelyn Paglini, and she's the real McCoy. Luck. Seven horses, right? Right on the mark.
Seven horses sing.
Just like those little balls that popped up in that machine in the New York State Lottery the other day on 911. 911. Just like that. Coincidence? I don't think so. All right. You know, I think we might have missed something there. I'm not really sure. I'll have to check into it. It's interesting. Machines. Yeah, we did miss something. All right, well. Later for it. Evelyn, welcome back.
I'm here.
Okay, good. Evelyn, I'm sitting here contemplating actually walking into a mirror or walking into several. Would you have to set up, in order to actually get to this point, assuming that you could, that it's you got it in you, would that require multiple mirrors? Would that be of assistance, or could it be done with one?
It can be done with one, and what I would prefer is a person using either a full-length mirror or one that is either 30 to 36 inches. They should do it in a darkened room. They should have a white, large candle that is reflected in the mirror, and they should be sitting where they are not reflected in the mirror. Also, another technique, Art, that can be used is, let's say you find a painting or a drawing or a picture,
yes,
that you find a scene or a temple or something that you would like to use as the scene that you want to go into.
Yes.
You can have that reflected in the mirror, and then you can walk into that scene. Now, that scene, once you walk into it, is going to come alive. And that's like, just one aspect.
Like Christopher Reeves in Somewhere in Time.
Yes.
Like
Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, my.
And then some. I mean, that's only the tip of the iceberg.
You know, this sounds like lunacy to a lot of people. You can walk into a scene. You can... what about... I mean, what has to be done? What mental preparation?
You have to have a trained mind. If you are not proficient at meditation and visualization, then you don't have a foundation.
Don't you almost have to be, I was joking around, I said Peter Pan. You almost have to be Peter Pan, don't you? In other words, you've got to be somebody who never fully has grown up or somebody whose mind is open to this really being the truth for it to be so.
If you can slow your brainwave frequencies, we have 21 brainwave frequencies. We have beta, alpha, theta, delta. When you put yourself into a meditative state, you're into an altered state of consciousness.
So you've got to be in an altered state.
Yes. Uh-huh. And once you are in an altered state of consciousness, now you are able to go into other dimensions and other realities. And you are able to communicate with spirit.
Huh. I listened to somebody like you talking about alternate dimensions and realities, and somebody like Dr. Michio Kaku out on the cutting edge of theoretical physics, who talked last night about the exact same thing, Evelyn, only he considers the probability that science will get us to these areas, you know, that...
Science is catching up, but, the traditions of all cultures have known this for thousands of years.
Yeah, but when the scientists finally get all the way caught up, aren't they, instead of using their machines, perhaps, will they attain, do you think, the ability to do what you're doing now with some kind of machine?
Yes. Yes, they will, but there will not be the spirituality. There will not be the balance in the foundation, and I'd be worried about it.
But what if that means that the spirituality aspect of it is unnecessary, that there are alternate realities, and you may be reaching it through one means, but that's not the only means, and you can reach it and accomplish things...
Yes.
...with the, quote, machine.
And again, without balance, you're going to have cynicism. People will be sinister. People will have the greed. They will manipulate.
I see.
Again, it's the foundation that you need in magic because the power is so great. When you were doing your experiments with the collective consciousness of your audience, you saw the power demonstrated. It
scared the hell out of me.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
If you do not know how to bind down the action not wanted, then you're going to get more than you bargained for. Because what you don't understand is you are opening up portals, and they go both ways.
I asked Dr.
Not only are you going in, honey, something coming out.
I hear you. I asked Dr. Kaku last night how much coincidence he believes in, told him about the New York State Lottery, you know, on 9/11, the anniversary thereof. New York State Lottery pops up three little balls, 9-1-1. What are the odds?
Infinite.
Is that more likely a demonstration of mass
consciousness?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Than it is coincidence. Yeah, I'd say so. I definitely say so. Of millions of minds affecting a machine designed to be random otherwise.
In the 70s, the early 70s at Duke University Foundation for the Research on the Nature of Man, Dr. Helmut Schmidt was a pioneer in the random number generator and the random light generator.
He's one of the men who tested you, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
We were doing that as well as what is now known to be remote viewing then, the early 70s. Mm-hmm. Parapsychology, the name, wasn't even formed. In fact, Dr. J.B. Ryan coined the phrase extrasensory perception. And the reason why I went there is because I had to have a better understanding scientifically of my talent, of what was going on, the changes that I was able to affect by using the traditions that I was taught, by calling down a cone of power, by tapping into the elements of earth, air, fire, and water, and using their forces, energies, and vibrations, and using mirror magic in order to effectuate a change.
Rick in Eugene, Oregon, fast blast me. Does Evelyn not realize how dangerous it is playing with these forces? Christians don't misinterpret. We heed the God that she doesn't.
Well, first of all, yes, I do realize the danger, and that's why each and every time I have been on the show, I have always insisted on people doing the research, the investigation, and to find the balance to learn the tradition. Because, yes, power is dangerous.
Kent in Hercules, California says, mirrors and stepping into them is another description of using the psychomantium, you know, what was described by Raymond Moody. So you're not alone in this whole mirror thing. Raymond Moody used mirrors very prominently in his ability to get people, scientific measurements and all the rest of it, to talk to dead relatives.
That is correct. I said spirit communication. Do you know, without going through what we call the magic mirror and the worker mirrors and those setups, which I'd like to talk about later,
yes,
you can use the mirrors in your home, like your bathroom mirror. Close the door, close your windows, run your shower, let your mirrors get fogged up.
Really?
Bring an article of clothing or a picture or something that has belonged to a person that has passed on that you would like to have communication with.
Wow.
And you are going to be able to call in that spirit, and it will leave you messages on the mirror. If you have a home that you feel there is a presence in, whether it is a negative or a positive one, again, a mirror is a very good use of communication with that spirit. And that's only one aspect.
I'm not sure if I'd try that or not. Fog, in other words, go into the bathroom, close the windows, turn on the shower, let the mirror fog up, have with you an article of clothing
of a person
who's passed on, and expect a message in the mirror from that person.
Oh, yes. There are colleagues of mine.
In what kind of form? You mean a written message?
A written message on the mirror, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. And there are friends of mine also who have gone into and taken a shower, and when they've come out, have had mirrors messages left. Or they have gotten, let's say, an image in a mirror and then have gained insight later during the day to give them the answer to a situation or a problem that they had. Mirror magic can be used in so many ways.
I can imagine getting out of a shower, looking in the mirror, and seeing a message that says, put the top back on the damn toothpaste.
Could be.
I know who to be coming from, too.
But see, only 15% is here in the physical. 85% is in the astral. But what the 15% that you can use right here is just tremendous. Health and well-being and happiness can be enhanced by using the mirror and the mirror of the mind in order to work on rebuilding, revitalizing, and rejuvenating the body.
That seems a moral goal.
Yes.
In other words, health for yourself seems
a reasonable
thing to try and attain, and a thinner, more reasonable body and whatever all.
And if you want, you can also use it for past lives. And this will help you not only understand what you're going through in this life, but will also help you to understand why you repeat certain patterns and keep also meeting certain people. And so the technique of going into your past lives, especially if you take your time and you practice and you keep a journal, you're going to gain tremendous insight into your past lives. You can also use it to influence other people. Again, not only within your own environment, your own home, but across the country. And that's through mirrors.
Why do mirrors have all these properties? Do you know?
Because what it does is it is able to fix the mind. And the mind, the untapped ability of the mind, is unfathomable. We only use 0.1% of our brain capacity. The greatest frontier is the mind. It's not space.
Yes,
and once we have tapped the abilities that we have within our mind, it is awesome.
And so on a personal level, somehow or another, the mirror unlocks a part of the mind that we're now not using consciously, or what?
Yes, that's exactly what it does. It makes you able to communicate with the spirit within, and then with the spirit of the divine. With that, you are able to go into other dimensions and other realities. You are able to communicate with other beings. You're going to interact with other beings, and you can influence them on their level. You can ask for their guidance and assistance in helping you in your magical works, and you can also effectuate change in the physical plane.
That's one hell of a lot to ask a novice at mirrors to endeavor to do. Now, a lot of people listening tonight really are probably going to try this out or some portion of it for themselves, and it sounds to me like there are inherent dangers, and I would like to know what they are.
All right. The inherent dangers are, first of all, again, you have to have the foundation. Second of all, you should protect yourself. When you are going to be doing your dedication and your consecration of your mirrors, okay, they have got to be done professionally, positively, calling down, okay, a cone of power, doing a dedication, putting in a binding action, putting in protection.
This is beginning to sound very complicated. I mean, you know, be careful with your mirrors otherwise, but...
Absolutely.
There's a lot here to do before you're going to be doing it with some measure of safety.
That is correct. If you're going to be using it on an occult fashion, if you're going to be using it, as I mentioned, on health and healing, if you're going to be using it for light spirit communication, and for removing negativity or evil, then you don't have to go through the process. But if you're going to be using it as a scrying mirror or a worker mirror, where let's say you're going to create a familiar or a thought form.
Wait. What does that mean, worker mirror?
A worker mirror is you are going to give it an assignment. That assignment may be, I want this mirror that is going to be facing my front door.
Yes.
Is going to be my protection, my shield of protection, where it is going to repel all negativity and evil.
Really?
Or I'm going to put two mirrors across from each other, and therefore I am going to have a mirrors that are going to be reflective of each other, and anything that passes through it that has a negative influence is going to be absorbed. I'm going to put a mirror, let's say, in another room of the house.
The government, even our airports could use those.
Absolutely. And you can put a mirror in another room of the house where, let's say, you want to bring more peace, love, harmony, stability within the room of one of your children.
Right.
So you can have an influence that the mirror can affect. Or let's say I want to use it for astral projection. And I want to go and visit my Aunt Edna, and I want to verify what she's doing, and when I come back, I give her a call. All of these things can be done without crossing into the occult aspect. Once you cross into the occult aspect, now you're going to get a little bit more involved.
All right, suppose you do, and that's what you want to do, is cross into the occult aspect. Where can you become learned in the specific things you've got to do so you don't screw up and
Okay, that's why I thought this was such a fantastic topic that you chose, Art, because there is so little known out there.
Right, exactly.
And what the person should do first, and that is, let's say they're going to be doing a scrying mirror, and that's the black mirror, one for past, present, and future. They're going to go out and they're going to look for a mirror, and that can be, anyway from, let's say, 8 inches to maybe 13 inches.
Yes.
And it should be circular. Sometimes you are able to purchase a scrying mirror. Other people will go shopping and find that mirror, let's say, that talks to them.
What is the difference between a regular mirror and a scrying mirror? You say dark. What do you mean dark? Is it, in other words, what do you have to do to make a mirror that is not yet a scrying mirror a scrying mirror?
What you're going to do is take a mirror and the back of it, all right, you are going to use black enamel paint, and you're going to put several coats on it. You're also going to establish
Evelyn, the back of a mirror right now has the reflective surface on it. Do you take that off and replace it with the black?
No.
You don't. So you just add?
You add 2 or 3 coats of black enamel paint.
Okay.
And you're going to establish a link with it between you and it. And therefore, some people will add, let's say, a couple of drops of blood.
Blood.
Others will take a couple of strands of their hair, and they will also infuse that in the back of the mirror.
Okay.
Then, once that has dried, they're going to put their frame around it. Now, some people, after they have cleansed the mirror first, okay, and have cleansed the frame, then what they are going to do is maybe put some sigils. They may put... They may put a sigil or a seal of an entity or a spirit. They may put the planets, the zodiac signs. There are specific keys, the Enochian keys, or angelic sigils or seals that they will put on the frame.
Okay.
They will definitely anoint it, and then they will take it to a full moon, like we're having on the 22nd.
Yeah, this is Friday the 13th, by the way.
That's correct.
Good day for you.
Pardon me?
Good day for you.
Oh, absolutely.
A full moon, though, huh?
Yeah, a full moon, and what you're going to do is you are going to allow it to stay in the rays of the moon for a specific length of time. Then you're going to anoint it, dedicate it, and consecrate it, either to, let's say, the goddess Diana, or to one of the elders or the old ones, or a particular spirit or entity that you're going to be using the mirror for. Once that is done, you're going to bring it in. I would always suggest people that they would use a black silk cloth that they are going to put their mirror in.
This is
witchcraft. Because it's never going to see the light of day.
You know, back in the 1800s, Evelyn, you'd be at a stake yelping.
I know. That's why it's taken years for people like myself to share the knowledge with others. We try to expose it step by step so that they gain the knowledge and they gain the understanding and the power on a very slow basis, so they have that foundation that I need them to have. That balance has got to be there, because they're going to move from that into other things. Once you realize, Art, that it is a gateway and a portal.
That it's all, once you realize it's all real. Hold on, Evelyn. Yeah. Once you know it's all real, then there are, pardon the pun, infinite possibilities open to you. But you have to wonder where you're headed with it all, and I do wonder about that aspect of it. Definitely, as I listen, there's no question about it. This is that wicked old witchcraft. I'm Art Bell.
the love you promised beneath the haloed moon. But you think I should be happy with your money and your name and hide myself in sorrow?
Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
There's a message in the music. There always is for me, you know. Listen, everybody, if your Christian sensibilities have become offended, then you might want to tune out now. We are talking about witchcraft. Call it natural magic, whatever else you want. It's witchcraft, and we've got a witch. She's Evelyn Baglini. So tune out if that's you. Once again, we return to Dr. Evelyn Baglini, who is a witch. Evelyn, welcome back.
Thank you, Emma.
That's pretty good. We're giving some people some pretty specific information, how to do information on this. I've got a question for you from Kevin way up in Fairbanks, Alaska. I've been told it's very important that you keep mirror glass in your house clean so that they don't collect energy that you might not desire. Is that true?
Absolutely right. What a wonderful question.
Really?
First of all, I would suggest people definitely keep their mirrors cleaned. And please understand the way I'm going to say this, because we are going to get into the darker side of this use of mirror magic.
That's wrong.
If they can, I would also like to see them do an anointing or a blessing so that the mirrors in their home are not going to be used for portals, so that there is energies, forces, or beings that can come through.
Like the shadow people that perhaps we speak of and,
yes,
on this program.
Or like the thought forms and familiars that can be created and sent to you through mirrors.
We got into the shadow people thing on my program a year ago or so, and I know I've had, Evelyn, I swear to you, this is a truth, and everybody else listening too, I've had 10, 20,000 serious emails from people who have seen these creatures, whatever in the hell they are, these shadow beings. I've never seen a response like this on any subject ever in my entire life. In all the years that I've been doing talk radio, it was like a landslide of public, oh my God, I've had this experience, I've seen these creatures, whatever they are. And you really think that the mirrors have something to do with how they perhaps come and go?
They are also accessibility. Glass and mirrors and anything that is of a reflective surface or polished can be used for a doorway, for a portal. Yes? That's why I said you can find out through your audience how many people have seen beings, entities, spirits, and shadow people.
I already have found out. I mean, I know that for sure.
Enormous amount.
I know,
and they never
I know.
Made the connection.
I never made the connection until boom. It was just like that. Boom.
Yeah.
And it was realized this is a real phenomena, and it's definitely connected to another dimension, which you're suggesting.
There's a gateway, a portal.
A gateway,
and they
yeah,
are
yeah.
able to access yeah. our dimension, our plane of existence, just as we, the practitioner, are able to access theirs. It's a two-way street.
Yeah. You mentioned the dark side of mirror magic. Let's rock, Evelyn. What's the dark side?
Well, it is also used in spell casting.
Oh.
And we touched upon it briefly when we were talking a little bit about astral projection, which is a marvelous way, okay, for you to be able to go anywhere and experience anything. And I love the ability of astral projection as well, especially when you learn how to control it.
Well, yeah, but the people I've had on, many on astral projection, boy, I've had a lineup of people, guests, they all say nothing, A, nothing can go wrong, and B, you can't do anything negative when you astrally project.
If you are in that dimension, okay, of the astral plane, but once you start going into other dimensions and other planes of existence, not only can you effectuate change there, and also you can have an extremely unpleasant experience.
In other words, the other side of the mirror isn't always Disneyland.
Oh, absolutely not. And see, those practitioners who have perfected mirror magic, what they are going to be using is certain worker mirrors, and those worker mirrors are going to be used to say, let me say I want to come and spy on you. I want to come and influence an energy in your thinking, your habits, okay, or let's say even your body,
uh-huh.
Then I can use the portal of a mirror to send a thought form or a familiar that I have created to you. Whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether wherever you are at, as long as I have glass and as long as I have a mirror, or as long as I have a reflective surface, I have a portal.
And if and so with that, you're telling me you can influence people to do things or change the way they are.
That is correct.
Whether they like it or not.
That is correct. I said there
okay,
is
then,
a
okay, then, okay,
well,
yeah,
art.
Okay, then, okay, then, okay, then, Anne Marie in Daly City, California asks, could a group of people working with mirrors influence world leaders to work for peace and harmony instead of the war thing, or you know, in other words, something at that level?
Yes.
And
yes.
If the answer to that is yes, Evelyn.
Now, there's two ways of going about
it. Our government actually is aware that political people could be influenced in such a manner. Why wouldn't the government be burning people like you at the stake?
Well, first of all, they're not aware.
Well, that's a good
okay,
answer.
They're now catching on. They're now being exposed to it because of shows like you. 5-6 years ago, this was not even a subject that could be discussed.
I know.
We have opened this up over the years very gingerly.
Yes.
To give people the power and the knowledge in their own hands to use it for their betterment. Yes, there is a sinister side. I will always tell you that side. Because it does exist, and there are people out there who are excellent practitioners at it, who are manipulating forces, energy, and people. And one of the uses is through mirrors.
And most voters and most voters feel so powerless. Here's a way to get the power, folks.
Yeah, here's how you can get the power back. See, right now you're unsuspecting and therefore easily victimized. You do not understand that this power exists. And so if you're introduced to it on the physical level where you can use it to benefit yourself, which is what we started with.
Right.
Then later, as you become more of a practitioner, more adept, then you're going to go into those other realms, other dimensions. But by now, you've gotten a foundation. Now you're ready to take on what you're going to be able to use, and you're going to have a choice.
Well, give me a good example of a serious negative use of this ability.
If I wanted to take a person and, let's say, bring them down.
Yeah.
Now, I can bring them down on a financial basis, a physical basis, a romantic, emotional, etc. I can use the mirror, a photograph, an article of clothing, which is called imitative and sympathetic magic.
Right.
And what I can do is I can turn it in on themselves.
You can ruin that person.
That is correct.
And the implications for you?
Well, of course, I'm going to pay the price if I don't have justification, but there are people out there that are willing to pay the price. They have the power. And you're standing in their way.
There's people out there willing to blow up themselves to kill others to pay the price. They're martyrs, and they're all over the place, so that's for sure.
Yes, and anybody that gets into magic is going to be tested, and there are those people who are willing to take the power and use it negatively. But what I'm trying to do is level the playing field, give enough knowledge and power into the people so that they can at least learn how to put up a shield of protection. Understand that there is energies and forces out there that can come through portals. So here's how you change that. Here's how you protect yourself. Here's how you can remove an evil or a negativity. How you can repel it, put up a block, send it back.
I'm curious about something, Evelyn.
Pardon me?
I'm curious about something. In all the years that you've been in this world that you're in, that I know that you're in, how many times have you had to go to the negative side and fight a battle?
Art, I'm a spiritual warrior, and that's what I do. So, when I discuss worker mirrors, I am giving you insight into secrets that have been used for thousands of years. I go into the interdimensions. I go into the astral plane. I bring in the elementals, and I use force against force.
So reading not too much between the lines here, the answer must be a lot, or a lot of times.
That's my world, Art.
Your world, yeah, I know.
My world is like nothing people can imagine.
It's the real truth, people.
It is the real truth.
Yeah.
It always has been. There have always been secret societies, traditions, since the beginning of time, and they have access to power.
Well, there's an interesting one. All these secret societies that exist, do many of them, Evelyn, ultimately have some part of the puzzle, some ritual that they've discovered that the society's formed around that really does work and is known to those at the top, the very top of those societies, that it's a glue that holds them together?
It is the glue that holds them together because it is ancient, proven mysteries. It is forces and techniques, beings and entities that you can call upon and that you can use and manipulate. I always said that that the nectar of the gods is blood. The
blood.
Metal of the gods
blood.
Is gold.
You know, I've always known, Evelyn, that you knew so much more than you've said on the radio. During all the interviews that we've done, we've sort of taken steps into these areas and then sort of withdrawn from it. And, you know, it's kind of like you're giving us a little piece at a time. But my general overall impression is that you're into some pretty rough stuff from a witch's point of view.
Yes, I am. And Art, you have gotten more out of me than anybody else has. Because I wanted to share this knowledge. I wanted to give the opportunity for people to, like I said, take it and own it themselves.
But knowledge, Evelyn, this knowledge,
knowledge owned.
Yeah, but this has been kept secret for so long. Why do you think it's appropriate now?
Because we are lifting our level of awareness. We have the veil being lifted. Our intuition, our psyche is going into another vibration. We are now going into spirituality. We are going to achieve the oneness with nature and the elements. And there must be a balance there. Because there are people out there that for centuries have been using this power and knowledge in order to control, to manipulate, to subjugate, and to kill other people. And now they're not going to have it as easy.
The average person just cannot imagine that this entire world coexists with their world, that these things are going on, that people are being manipulated, people are being killed. People are occasionally being healed, but there's this great dark side at work out there. Father Malachi Martin knew it. He said it all the time. You're saying it from another sort of point of view here, but saying the same thing virtually, that it does exist, and it's raging right alongside the normal world. And so telling these secrets I guess from your point of view, I can see your point of view that it's time that everybody began to grasp the power that in some cases is being used against them.
Yes, at least learn how to put up some protection. At least be aware when you are the victim of it. As long as you are unsuspecting, as long as you remain ignorant, then they have the upper hand.
Hey, all right. Well, this is a big question, and it relates to, no doubt, you know, calls we'll get or messages I'll get. People who say, aren't, maybe it's me. I've been a no-luck person all my life. Everything I do turns to poop. You know, I my marriage, my personal life, my job, my career, my... every aspect of my life is sour and wrong. And many of them believe that something like you're talking about has been, you know, a spell or whatever has been cast on them. They're not all wrong.
No, they're not. Now, you can have a negative cycle, but a negative cycle usually doesn't hit you in all aspects and has a time limit. But once someone has cast a spell on you, and things are going wrong, and they continue to go wrong.
Right.
Then what you need to do is a cleansing. And even if you don't know who the person that is sending this negativity to you, you can still do a reversal where that person who is doing the sending is going to get it back.
All right. Well, here's a question you might want to struggle with a little bit. The average listener out there right now, let's say they buy into this generally. If somebody with your talents, Evelyn, were going after somebody out in this audience in a negative manner, if you set out to go after somebody in this audience, an amateur, somebody who perhaps believes but doesn't know what the hell they're doing really, that would be the average listener tonight. If you went after them, could they prevent you from coming after them, or would you get them?
Okay, if they... You're talking that I don't have no justification?
Well,
now?
I don't care either way. My question is, somebody with...
All right, just somebody with my talent.
Your level, yeah.
I would suggest they call a priest, a rabbi, a shaman, and get everything that they can because, honey, they're mine.
That's what I thought.
They're mine.
Yeah, that's what I thought. In other words, truth be known, if you're going to go play in somebody's pool, you better know what you're stepping into, and so.
Art, in your audience, you can have them either contact you or call you. They have felt my presence when they are doing rituals. I have been there in spirit, giving them energy, and giving them power, and helping them when they are doing their rituals.
That's a pretty serious claim.
That's why I said it. It'll prove it to you. You can take your spirit, your energy, your essence, and you can bring it to another person, and you can help them in their magical works. You can also influence them. That's what I keep trying to tell people. There are practitioners out there that can use this on a negative basis, and I would suggest they put up shields of protection.
But even at that, with what the average person can do, the real truth is, if somebody with your talents comes after them, they're toast.
Yeah, but let's say that there's not that many practitioners that are at that level.
Left alive.
You're talking,
Evelyn,
many years.
Yeah, okay, hold on. That was sort of a joke, left alive part. You know, not burned, but sort of... We're going to break right here. My guest is Dr. Evelyn Paglini. She's a real thing. She is a witch. I'm Art Bell.
the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
I am just about to take a webcam picture that's going to blow your mind. It hit me all of a sudden like a ton of bricks. Art, you can do it right here. I'm going to take a... You watch the webcam picture I'm about to take. Everybody stay right where you are. My guest is Dr. Evelyn Paglini, a witch. Yeah, that's right. We're talking about witchcraft, or the craft, whatever you want to call it. Coming right up. Stay right there. Oh, how is that weird? That is so weird. Here's what I was going to do. I noticed that I could take my webcam and pull it off its stand where it would normally take a photograph of me and point it at the monitor, and I could get this endless circle or a repetitive picture. I mean, you truly could see infinity. And so I snapped a webcam photo. But when I got back, had no reflection at all when it was sent. So in other words, that feedback is not recordable. I can't record that feedback. That is so weird. If you look at what I got, went all this trouble to do it, and I thought that I would be able to take a picture of those millions of repetitive images which I was seeing on the screen. But when I took the picture, the only thing that I got was the webcam program on my computer and some weird reflections at the same time. But there's no image there at all. I don't understand how I got what I just got. And that's because I'm not understanding the feedback process with regard to video and sending an image of this, I guess. I'm not understanding that feedback process correctly. This is really weird. Okay, Evelyn, welcome back.
Thank you.
I tried to... That was so weird, Evelyn. I was looking into infinity, and I snapped the picture, and it got sent to the website, and when I got it, all I got was this blank program instead of the infinity picture that I wanted to show people. It's like it wasn't even on. Oh, man, that's weird.
It's a dark matter.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Ah, gee. Okay, where should we go from here? I mean, we're sort of touching now on the dark side of witchcraft in general, and what can be done, and I don't know, some eyes out there I'm sure will be opened. Even some Christian eyes out there will say, yeah, probably some of this is true. What does it mean to me?
Well, first of all, when you're dealing with the dark side, if you wanted to send a negativity, a creative thought form, or a familiar, you're going to use the portals of the mirrors right within the premises. Now, you can have that as an influence. You can have that to make change in the environment or in a person. And so, therefore, it's going to affect every person out there that is going to become a victim by a person that is a practitioner who's going to use the sinister side. By calling in an entity or a being, by creating a thought form or a familiar and sending it. That's why when the man called earlier and he said, should you keep your mirrors clean? Yes, and you should use a glass cleaner, one with ammonia in it, because it removes, it dissolves all negativity. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't use it if you were using it magically, because therefore you want to build up magic. Unless you're using it in a magical way that is to remove evil and negativity. Once you have completed that ritual, naturally you would cleanse it.
Somebody fast-blasting me from Denver asks, Scott asks, how did you come to choose your particular path, Evelyn. In other words, in your case, it was since you
it's
were
hereditary.
Old, yeah, hereditary. Okay.
I was initiated at the age of 4, and I have been a practitioner all of my life. I was also raised Roman Catholic, and I have no problem, okay, with both of them, because I feel that, again, all things come from God, and they are placed in our hands to use for the betterment of ourselves and our fellow man. But we're going to be tested, because there is power when you gain this knowledge. And so by your intent is whether you're going to make it black or white, whether it's going to come from the dark side or is it going to come from light. So take responsibility for your actions.
Okay, well, let's be clear on terms for a second. Really clear on terms. When you say the light side or the dark side, are we talking about God and Satan, or are we talking about simply a power that is? I mean, should we leave God out on the top end and Satan out at the bottom end in our discussion of this or not, Evelyn?
I feel that you have to bring in Satan. You have to bring in an evil being or deity, because it does exist. There has always been and always shall be a conflict between good and evil.
Yes. Yes.
So you have to give equal time to both.
But pushed right up to the corner in the back of the wall, back up against the wall, Evelyn, there is the God that the Christians know of, and there is the Lucifer, the devil, that they're told about sometimes.
Yes.
These entities are real.
Yes, they are real.
So then, when you're calling on the dark side, you are in Satan's territory. I mean, you're brushing shoulders there with the.
Calling upon forces, and then if you are calling in a specific entity or being that is known to be of the left-hand path, yes, that is what you are dealing with. Then you are dealing with the dark forces. If you are only calling on an elemental force, that is neutral. You are the wielder of that force and that vibration.
An elemental force is neutral. That would be, give me an example of elementals.
Okay, earth, air, fire, and water. In fact, speaking of it, in your book, The Quickening, you have no idea how sure and right you are, because I have found that since March, the elements have been called into action, and we are going to see all of these elements firing for at least the next 15 months, so there is going to be so much destruction that is going to be caused by the elements. But when you are doing magic, you can call upon the forces of these elements, and you can use their forces and vibrations in, like, say, binding down an action or sending a spell through the air to its target by using fire to dissolve or to destroy something, by controlling the emotions, okay, of love with water. Again, you can use the elements. They are in pure form. The bad person who wants to use it negatively is going to use that same binding action of earth to stop you from gaining ground, from achieving a level.
Evelyn, I knew, it was when I wrote The Quickening, it was a knowing.
Yes.
I just absolutely knew what our future was. I knew that things were speeding up. I knew that the weather was changing. I knew that socially and spiritually and every aspect of human life was racing along at an exponentially increasing pace. And I just knew that in every fiber of my being. And that's why I wrote that book.
That's why I said you were sure.
But I don't know why.
It was that knowing. It is that intuition.
Yeah, it's a knowing. It's a knowing, but I don't know why I know.
because our consciousness is being raised, because the veil is being lifted. And so therefore our perceptions have been broadened. And the more we use our mind, the more we train and discipline the mind, the more accesses and possibilities that we are going to be able to use. And again, I'm going to say, yes, you're going to have a choice. Knowledge is power. You're going to have to make a choice and take the responsibility for it.
Or is there a mixing of the two? I mean, are there people who begin to get into this persuasion, the craft, and then actually move between the two forces? Or is that like trying to be a double agent liable to get you burned or shot?
Both of the above. I think most people are going to tread a fine line.
Yes.
And especially those people who are going to be influenced by, let's say, a society or a coven. The solitary practitioner is not going to be exposed as easily and as readily, and so therefore may be able to build enough of a foundation so that that line can remain in balance.
What technically constitutes a coven? Is it a gaggle of witches? I mean, are there a lot of... First of all, what constitutes a coven?
Well, first of all, a coven is going to be 12 individuals and either a high priest or a high priestess.
Well, at least 12. How many covens do you think there are across our country?
Thousands.
Thousands?
Thousands. Yes, because you have different sects and you have different persuasions and traditions. You have covens that it may be dedicated to Diana, to Hecate. There is going to be the Saxon, the Gardnerian persuasion. There are thousands of covens out there, as well as tens of thousands of solitary practitioners.
Most Americans wouldn't believe this.
Oh, I think they would now. The last few years, they are seeing the exposure. Okay, of natural magic and shamanism and those people that are going to strive for spirituality, making themselves one with nature and the elements.
Well, Father Malachi Martin, when he was alive and on this program, said that evil was increasing exponentially in the world. He couldn't keep up with it. He used to name the number of exorcisms that went on in his region alone, and it was up like 800%, 800%. And, you know, to believe some of it, then maybe you've got to believe all of it. And I wonder if Father Malachi Martin was talking about covens, or some covens, or, I don't know. But
he was talking about covens. He was talking about societies out there that have, again, been around for centuries. And what they do is they definitely practice the dark side of magic. And they are very proficient at it. Because they have had those centuries where they have been so secret, where no one has known about them. And so they have, let's say, fine-tuned their trade.
All right, look, I know... that everybody will say, well, you know, everybody who comes on the show sells something. They do. People come on the program, sell books. That's fine. You know, that's how you get them on the program. In your case, I happen to know that you sell, you supply, I guess would be the right word, and have long before you were ever on this program, people who wish to begin to practice elements or aspects of the craft. You sell them things they will need to do that. Props.
Tools. I have a catalog on your website.
Yeah, essential oils and other things needed for spells, even instructions on how to do all of this, right?
Yes, I do. And I give it so that people can go into any metaphysical store, not just purchase it from me.
Okay.
But to go into any metaphysical store and know what they're asking for. Know the herbs, the essential oils, the image candles, the colors, and what they're used for and how to use them. So for those people who would like a catalog for that information, I would love for them to write to me.
Okay. Let's have an address.
If they would send $1 for postage and handling,
right,
they're going to get 10% off their first order.
Okay.
And they can send it to Paglini, P-A-G-L-I-N-I,
P-A-G-L-I-N-I.
At P.O. Box 57932.
57932.
Sherman Oaks, two words, California, 91413. Or they can call our 818.
Oh, 818.
783-2995. And ask for Missy.
Missy.
Yeah, if you can get through her, you can get to me.
Missy. So it's the address is Paglini, P-A-G-L-I-N-I, P.O. Box 7932.
57932.
57932. Sherman Oaks, California. I know some people in Sherman Oaks. 91413. And the phone number is area code 818-783-2999. Is that correct?
2995. $29.95.
What the hell's the matter with me? Oh, I see. I didn't make a good clear five. 783-2999.95. Sounds like a price.
Yeah, I would like those people who are really going to get into the practice of magic to get a foundation, and I'm going to recommend meditation and visualization. If they want to have the basics of magic, then I would suggest the Day of Magic.
Is it honestly possible, and this is a really straight-out question, to change your life? If you're not successful in love, in career, in life in general, can you begin to adopt the craft, learn the craft, and change your life completely? Every aspect of your love life, your business life, your satisfaction in life, your every aspect, whatever your material wants are, you can go after all of that with the craft?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And depending on the amount of energy and the desire and the necessity, and, of course, your willpower, you can achieve your desired goals in, I would have to say, almost every aspect. Again, it depends on your level of desire.
Can it be done quickly?
There are some people who are going to gain immediate results, but when you're asking for the larger, bigger picture, the future that is extended, no, it's not going to be easy.
Okay.
You're going to have to put in the time. You're going to have to put in the discipline. You have to know what you're doing. You're not waving a magic wand. You're manipulating forces and energies.
If you went to your pastor, your priest, whoever, and you told them the journey you were about to embark on into this area of natural magic, and you put it as softly as you could, what would you probably be told?
Well, they're going to be worried because, again, they know that as soon as you start gaining knowledge, you're going to be tested because there's so much power there.
But in all probability, you wouldn't be told it's not real. You'd just be told, beware.
That it comes from the devil and that you shouldn't touch it.
Oh.
Again, they want to keep it away from you. Unless you have a couple of priests that I had, like a Father Brocklow and a Father Pellicore, they were fascinated with it. They wanted to know more about it. In fact, they started experimenting with it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I told you I was raised Roman Catholic. I had a couple of wonderful priests.
Yes, but you didn't tell me you had a couple of priests who began experimenting with the craft, essentially, with natural magic.
Yeah. Oh, yes. When them and my grandfather got together, it became exciting.
Oh, that's incredible. What was the ultimate outcome for them, career-wise?
Well, career-wise, they achieved the goals that they wanted to achieve, but quite honestly, what they were out to do was to effectuate change within the diocese and to effect change within their own territory, and that's what they really accomplished.
Holy mackerel. I've never heard anything like that before. That's incredible.
You'd be surprised how many people really got into magic.
All right. Hold it right there, Evelyn. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to open the phone line for Evelyn Paglini coming up shortly. Can you imagine that? Two of the church. All of the angels come here. Maybe they have. I'm Art Bell.
Seasons don't feel the rhythm, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Be that day, come on, baby, don't feel the rhythm. Baby, take my hand, come on, feel the rhythm. We'll be able to fly, come on, feel the rhythm. Baby, I'm your man.
West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
There may be all kinds of killers out there on the roam. Maybe some of the ones you can't see or detect when they kill. Maybe we're talking to one of them. One of them who knows. Who knows that road, anyway. Her name is Evelyn Paglini, and she is a witch. And we're going to... Well, I have no idea what's going to happen with the phone lines. But I want to open them and just see what happens. So it's your opportunity to speak with a real witch. That's all coming up if you'll stay right where you are. Well, all right, back we are with the real McCoy, Evelyn Paglini, practicing the craft all her life. And I want to repeat the address and the phone number for those who did not get it. She does supply the... What was it once somebody said, the difference between men and animals is that we know how to accessorize. That's the difference between man and animals. We know how to accessorize. So if you want some accessory, you would write to Paglini, P.O. Box. Gotta write 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, zip code 91413, or there is a phone number, 818, area code 818-783-2995. Right, Evelyn?
Correct.
Good. You think that might be right, that the difference between men and animals is that man knows how to accessorize?
That also, it brings in vibrations that you can raise your consciousness with. Excellent tools to work magic.
To work magic.
Yeah, because they all have a vibration. They all have a force and an energy that you're tapping into.
All right. Well, this is one of those kinds of programs that I think the public really needs to be in on. I mean, they really, really, really want to talk to you. And so here we go. First time caller line, you are on the air with Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
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 Hi. Good evening.
Good evening. Where are you?
I am in Florida.
Florida. Okay.
Yes. Home of the weird weather and chemtrails.
Yeah. A lot of things these days. What's up, sir?
I was wondering, Doctor, are you familiar with Santeria? Well, you probably are.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I went to see my girlfriend at the time. She's my ex-girlfriend. I went to see a psychic. I went to him a couple times, and the first time I saw him, he thought that I practiced black magic, which I have never consciously. My second visit, he told me that I was a warlock in past lives. And then he said that I had a demon that I was cursed with and that I would need a breaking or a cleansing. And I was a little concerned because at first I didn't know that he was, Santerian. It wasn't a religious thing. And then it kind of turned into it. And my ex-girlfriend and her mom are just kind of a little following that he has, and it kind of freaks me out. And some things that he said kind of hit nails on the head, but then other things, I don't know if I should get, like, a second opinion. I don't know if it's legit. I've also heard that usually that's a telltale sign of a fraud, you know?
I would have to say you're correct in all of the above. First of all, he probably picked up that you may have a natural talent or affinity toward magic. But when he starts to say that you have a curse on you and you need a cleansing, you would have to ask yourself, have I been in a negative cycle? Have I had a lot of things going wrong? And if so, you can do a personal cleansing, meaning learn how to do it for yourself. I don't like to see anybody get on a hook with someone where they're going to have to pay them an awful lot of money and hope to God that they are going to perform a ritual to remove this curse or this negativity. I'd rather teach you how to do it for yourself.
Right.
So
right.
Definitely you need a second opinion. If you feel after you have taken an inventory of your life that you need a cleansing, by all means, let me teach you how to do so. This way you own the power. You're not going to somebody else and, like I said, hoping to God they'll do it.
Right. And it does seem...
And you do have an affinity, honey, a natural talent, a natural affinity toward magic. And if I were you, I would definitely pursue it. But again, knowledge is something gained and power is something should be owned by yourself.
All right.
Right. And I have noticed there is a dark side, and I'm sure everybody has somewhat of a dark side. And I have noticed it ever since I was a kid. The only thing that I've ever done is I have a strong visualization.
Excellent.
A strong intuition. So some of the things that he said did kind of, you know, like...
Ring true.
Yeah. So, well, I will do that. Thank you, then.
All right, thank you very much for the call, and take care. Now, I have that, Evelyn. I have a very strong intuition, really strong intuition, and I have learned to follow it, you know, to pay attention to it. And inevitably, when I don't, I run right into a brick wall.
Most people do. They get that second hunch. They get that strong gut feeling, and they go against it. And when they do, they usually pay a very dear price.
That's a fact. Boy, that is a fact. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Two questions, if I can, real quick. Evelyn, are you familiar with Kundalini?
Yes.
Are you also familiar with when it occurs in people spontaneously, they're not following any path or doing any meditation, it just occurs to them? And you were talking about negative cycles. From experience and what I've been researching on it, is that when this thing occurs, it literally starts to destroy the person physically, mentally. I'm talking spontaneous now. Physically, mentally, it breaks relationships up. And it seems for years and years people go into this constant negativity. I've heard it from the a few Christian sides saying that, well, you know, this is the Holy Spirit and the cleansing, and from the Eastern side they say this is a great thing. What is your knowledge about this, and is there anything that can be done for people who are, who've had this happen to them?
It has been very rare that I have found that someone has actually spontaneously brought down Kundalini. It's very rare. Kundalini is known as the serpent fire, and most people who have drawn it down, unless they are an extremely masterful practitioner, will experience exactly what you were saying. They are destroyed from the inside out.
Absolutely. Is there any...
It is one of the most powerful elements that can be used and directed is the Kundalini force.
It's incredible, but for those rare people, let's say, who have experienced this and... Obviously, it wreaks havoc on every single level.
Absolutely. There are very few people here in America who have ever drawn down Kundalini and lived.
What a cleansing. Let me put it this way. Those who have lived and are surviving barely through the experience, would the cleansing work? Would there be any remedy to this?
Yes, a cleansing would work, and then what would happen is because of your experience, you would become like the thousand-petal lotus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, each blossom, each petal would be opening, and that would give you another, let's say, level of awareness. Another talent would be exposed to you, only because of the experience of Kundalini.
It's just the most amazing event. Anyway, the second question real quick is, obviously we're going to war in Iraq, and it seems to me, in my humble opinion, that this will spread. And you're coming on tonight, and I've heard you before, and you're giving us more and more knowledge. Is this one of the reasons you're giving us knowledge? Is because, as the Christians say, or even the Hopi Indians and Art with his quickening, that we're really reaching this critical time, and this is needed now, your information?
We can use the information to collectively direct our consciousness like a laser beam to put a shield of protection around this nation and also to lessen or to diffuse what is about to happen. But we are entering into a very long cycle that is going to be very destructive. There is a purification and a cleansing that has been going on. The elements are involved, and as we race toward this new consciousness, we are certainly going to be tested in many different ways.
You know, Evelyn, that sounds an awful lot like what the Hopis say.
It's the truth.
They talk about a cleansing, a coming cleansing all the time.
Yes, and we're going to go through it for years, so I would suggest people really get prepared.
Yeah, that's what the government's been telling us, too. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Evelyn?
Yes.
My name is Sam.
Hello, Sam.
And I live in Chicago. And many years ago, I was your landlord on Broadway at 3709 North Broadway. Do you remember me?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God. What was it like, sir? Were you aware, when you were her landlord, who she was?
Well, not really. But I have learned since. I tried to call you many times before when you were on the program before, and I couldn't get through. But I just wanted to call now and to say hello and to wish you the best.
Thank you. Tell me,
when did you leave Chicago, Evelyn?
I left Chicago in 1984. I founded IPC, which was the International Psychic Center, in 1972. I believe when I was on Broadway, that is where the first Mystic Eye was.
Where was the Mystic Eye? I'm not familiar with
that. That was where people were able to come in if they were having paranormal experiences.
Uh-huh.
It was like a school, so that they didn't think that they were crazy.
Yep.
They could come in and say, you know, I have just had a paranormal experience or a spirit vision or communication, and they would be able to get explanations and have understanding.
I was so impressed with you.
Was she a good tenant, sir?
Yeah, she was a good tenant.
I mean, did you hear any strange things in the night?
I lived about a block away.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't hear anything. she was a marvelous woman, and I really missed her when after she left. She didn't stick around too long, but I was really impressed with you, and. I know since you left Chicago, you've done a lot of wonderful things, and I wish you the best, Evelyn, and I'm so glad I got through to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad you made it through, too. Thank you very much. Oh, my. The things you...
Oh, I've done a lot, especially on Friday the 13th a long time ago. Bill Beck hired me to take the bad luck off the White Sox and put it on the opposing team.
Oh, my
God. We won that day.
Uh-huh. Do you think that a lot of sports teams use the services of people like yourself?
No, but they should.
Well, yeah, they should. You know, I know that a lot of baseball players and football players and, you know, big professional sports people, they are superstitious as hell. I mean, they will use the same bat, wear the same jersey, whatever, the same everything, the little quirks that people do. They are as superstitious as it gets.
Yes, I know, and I used that when I was doing the opposing team because they made so many mistakes, Art, it was exciting. I mean, it really was a lot of fun. And, of course, we broke the losing streak of the White Sox.
See what you can do for the Raiders and the Chargers this year, would you?
All right.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
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 Hi, Mr. Bell.
Yes, indeed. Where are you, sir?
This is Tony, North Hollywood.
Tony in North Hollywood, all right.
And I was one of the callers a couple of months ago that asked when you were going to have Dr. Paglini back on the air. I also had called in that night about the mirrors.
Oh, you're one of the ones who got all this started.
Well, I had a mirror, mirrors on both sides of the house, and I don't have them anymore. But I can attest to the fact that what she had mentioned earlier, where I had sat in the front of my house.
Yes.
Because I come from, like, my mother and my grandmother were practitioners. They were also Greek Orthodox, so they were Christian, but at the same time they called them gypsies. My family got called a lot of names. But I inherited that from them. In fact, Evelyn reminds me a little of my grandmother, her voice. And I one time was in North Hollywood here, and I was conjuring up a spell for protection of the house. Did you feel that, Evelyn?
I can't hear you, sir. You conjured up a protection for your house, and what happened?
And I kind of remembered your recollection of your past time on the show.
Uh-huh.
Came to mind when I was doing it. It's almost like you were guiding me.
Well, like I said, there are many people out there that have felt when they have been doing a ritual that my presence has been there. I have empowered them, and they have felt it.
Well, as I said earlier, that's a really serious claim.
Well, let the people call in. There's quite a few out there.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, obviously. But you really do make that claim that you are, or you have.
Huh. I can send my essence anywhere.
But that's almost the claim of a deity.
No, it is not. Believe me, most practitioners and shamans out there have that ability, Art. They just don't tell you that. Because you want to talk about fear, that's what's going to happen. Immediately people fear me.
What an
because
incredible.
They say, if I can do that, my God.
Yeah, and line me up among those, I mean, in a way, because...
That's why I said you get more out of me than I have ever said to anyone, because I don't want to instill fear. I want to show people how they can use it on a positive manner. But I also want to let them know there is a sinister side. There is this, and it can happen, and people will use it against you. So for goodness sakes, protect yourself. Learn.
All right. Quickly. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Tuesday, and I'm calling from Long Beach, California.
Born, no doubt, on Tuesday, huh?
No, I was born on Sunday, but...
And why do they call you Tuesday?
After Tuesday Weld, my father slipped in and signed the birth certificate.
Oh, dads are like that.
So,
well, Tuesday's
yeah.
a good name, even if it's after Tuesday Weld.
Yes, was, it is, and
was,
I agree.
She was very cute. All right, so...
Thank you. I have only wished that I was one of the persons who sought protection first before I've had, for the last 4 months, what I would call a being without a body attacking me at night.
Oh.
The attacking started around the feet in the bed, started shaking very slightly into where, because I would, of course it scared me to death right away, into where I started to learn how to ignore it, increase my prayers. I mean, did everything I went to, went and seen some psychics. They tried to, find out what it, where it was coming from, why it was coming from.
What were the nature of these attacks?
The attacks were the first amount of the attacks was that it was crawling around on me, attaching. It still attaches to the backside of me. It was so strong that I could almost feel legs and feet and arms all over me.
All right, I want you to hold it right there.
Okay.
We're in a break. I'm going to hold you over. All right.
Okay.
All right, stay right there, please. That's Tuesday. I guess I want to get that whole story. My guest is Dr. Evelyn Paglini. This is something we've done a lot of shows on, attacks. This is very, very serious stuff. I'm Art Bell from the high desert, moving through the night like a freight train. You're listening to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
Beware the devil woman. She's going to get you from behind, and that's the direction it's going to come from. And that's the direction, of course, where you you never see it coming, right? That's because it gets you from behind when you weren't looking. I've done a couple of programs on this attack thing, and there's probably nothing that's personally scared me more that I can think of that we've done on the air than these things. Once again, Dr. Evelyn Paglini, and Tuesday, and Tuesday is a young lady who is or was being attacked. Was there any sexual nature to it?
Well, the attacking is still going on, and in fact, as we speak, I can feel the being crawling on my legs, attacking me, trying to distract me from what I'm doing. Yes, it did what it did for a while after that. I would stop paying attention to it. Then it started crawling in spaces, in my personal spaces, so that it could get my attention.
I would do it.
And, of course, being uncomfortable. And at that point, I started to panic because I could not understand the intentions of this thing. I started going in and checking on my kids and noticing that the covers would move when I went in there. I'd recover my daughter, and I could literally see the cover being picked back up again, so that something's either crawling underneath it back up again on it. My dog won't even come near me anymore.
Wow. Evelyn, what's happening to this woman?
Well, first of all, what it started out sounding like is an incubus. You have a spirit that is sexually attacking her. I don't like the fact that it is now going after the children. Mm-hmm. And so what it's doing is it's drawing energy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had your home blessed? by a priest or a rabbi. What have you done to try to remove this evil presence?
I had the Catholic father come in, and he did bless. We did prayers. We blessed the house inside, outside, out front, my garage, my car, everything that had to do with us on it. Since then, he has been very leery to help me. I've talked with him many times.
Why would he be leery? Did he experience anything?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I always say, I'll give you a call back, and I never get one. In fact, I spoke with him yesterday, and when he was supposed to call me today, and he didn't. And I even said to him, if you don't believe me or you're afraid, then tell me.
The experience, has it lessened since he did the blessing?
No. No.
And was this a priest?
Yes.
And did he use, holy water?
He did. Wore his whole full gown. He brought two nuns with him also. The one nun, she was very uncomfortable. She's very old. She was very uncomfortable. And she started getting really fidgety. And I could see the look of her face when she was feeling scared.
Oh, yeah, she was feeling the presence of evil.
And so I went and sat next to her, and I said, it's okay. You know, you don't be... I was afraid, but I noticed that the less I'm afraid, then I feel I have more power.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Immediately what you should do is get yourself... you can use table salt, but go out and get yourself some sea salt and square off your bed. Okay, put it also across the threshold of your front door.
I've done that.
And the door of your bedroom.
I've done that.
But have you said the chant that there is no evil or negativity that can cross this barrier?
No,
when you are doing the bed, that there is no evil or negativity that can cross this threshold, and that there is no evil or negativity that can stay within the walls. You must command the spirit to remove itself. You can also use some black salt, which is also extremely negative for those that are of an evil intent. You can also put sulfur on the outside, and you can bring and use sage. You haven't done a real proper cleansing.
I've done the sage. I've been through in front of three transmediums with 12 clairvoyants next to them on them, cleansing and healing, and they have not been able to touch it.
Boy, oh boy.
I have pictures. I've been taken for 2 weeks. Some pictures just throughout the house, day, night, all over the place. When I got them developed day before yesterday, I wasn't afraid until I seen these pictures.
Why?
Two of the pictures show horns on this being.
You should be sending me these photographs. Are you able to?
Yeah, that she may have a vortex art, and she's going to need some real serious help from a practitioner in her local area.
I just don't know who to go to. And it's... It's not so much I'm afraid for me, I'm afraid for my kids, especially because of my daughter and her age. I don't want this thing to do the same thing it was doing to me. You know, I want her to have that naturally.
Well, first of all, babe, immediately get yourself a medallion, a crucifix, or a crystal, program it for protection, and put it around your children as well as yourself.
Okay.
And please give me a call. I will be more than happy to give you as much advice as possible. I'll tell you where you can go to get some of the things, and let's see what we can do.
Okay. Yeah, I've got plenty of pictures of this thing.
All right, if you're able, get me some of those photographs, would you?
Okay, yeah. My husband took the pictures away from me for a couple of days. He goes, because I was so upset about it. And I know that to get them set up to where I can email the pictures out on it. But
yeah, I want to talk to you. I want to know how long it's been going on. When did it happen? When did it first occur? What transpired? Look, I have quite a few questions I need to ask you. But we can try to get to the bottom of it.
All right, did you get Evelyn's phone number?
I have Evelyn's phone number on it, and I've left a message with Missy, and they told me that you were going to be on. I've sent our emails on it. It's just that I'm...
You're at your wit's end. I understand.
I am. I feel like I'm getting all this advice, and, and I do all these things, and nothing's helping, and I'm getting help from big people on them. Nothing's helping, so...
All right, well, then you've got Evelyn Paglini, so call her, and in the meantime, get me the photographs, please. ArtBell@mindspring.com. And I'll get them up, of course, on the web. The rest is up to you, Evelyn. There's nothing I can do there. Wow. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
I'm Bill from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Bill.
It's an honor, Art, and I have a question for Evelyn.
Sure.
It's also an honor, Evelyn.
Thank you, Art. Thank you, Bill.
I have a question about mirrors that are common in, a lot of people have them as medicine cabinets in their bathroom mirrors, and they're the trifold kind. And I've talked to a lot of people who have done the same thing, either as kids or they remember even doing it now, and that's where if you fold the two outer trifold mirrors in and you look inside, in between the two, you see something continuing on forever, as far as you can see. And I've talked to different people about what they see when they look at that. In some department stores, some older department stores, I've seen full-length trifold mirrors like this. And kind of had a fascination with it, just because it's a space that seems to continue forever.
Yeah, it is infinity.
Again, that doorway, gateway to other dimensions.
Evelyn, somebody really raised a pretty good point earlier, and that was there would be certain places, like department stores, beauty salons, places where, as a natural course of events, they have mirrors and mirrors and mirrors and mirrors. And if all of this is true, you would think that these type places would experience paranormal events at a ratio far above others otherwise. I mean, do you think that might be true?
Well, it can be if those people are intense when they are gazing into the mirror. If they're only passing by the mirror, they're not going to get an influence from the mirror.
So it requires the intent as well as, in other words, just the
intent and the altered state of consciousness, the meditative state.
All that has to be there, otherwise it's only a mirror.
Well, yes, but you can. You see so many people who will recite or perform or get into character in front of a mirror. And if you practice often enough, what you're bringing is your essence into play. And so, therefore, you can make a change on the physical plane just by the intent of what I would say gazing into your eyes. But again, it's going to take a little bit of time and practice.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm on the air. Okay, I'm in Florida.
Florida?
Right. And I have a question for you. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous.
It's all right. Just relax, take a deep breath, and proceed.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I had called once before, and I had talked to George when he had a guest on, and I was telling him about an ex-boyfriend of mine, and we have a child together. And the ex-boyfriend of mine told me things that were just, to me, seemed unreal, but I know that they're not, that they could be real. And
what kind of things?
Okay, he told me that he used to have dreams about demons, and he told me he had a dream about the devil, and the devil asked him to sign his book, and I guess he had signed this book, and I'm worried because he told me once that he was going to make me sick, and he used to talk about mirrors and the reflections, and he told me I had got sick with leukemia at age 21, and I had had a perfect bill of health.
Leukemia.
Right. With cancer. I'm 24 now.
So he told you, now I presume this was when you were breaking up or broken up or whatever at the downside of the relationship, obviously.
Well, yeah, it was after our daughter was born. I had got
your daughter.
Right. I had got sick 5 months into my pregnancy, and we had had problems. And he was into demonology and the mirrors and all these things, and I was really not on top of all the subjects, you know. And
he came after you.
Well, that's what he told me. He said he was the one that made me sick, and he said that gypsies had cursed his family from long ago, and he had these powers and abilities, and he told me that he was the one who made me sick, and he wanted me to die.
All right, Evelyn, could somebody come after somebody like this young lady to the degree to give her leukemia or some other really awful disease like that? Is that within the...
Yes, you could find a weakness within the body and cause a disease to erupt. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I also like to know what I can do to keep him away, because I know you said that through the mirrors they can get to you, even, you know, through the mirrors.
All right.
First of all, you can put, depending on your religious persuasion, you should cleanse your mirror, as I had mentioned, with a glass cleaner. Either put the sign of the crucifix, the Star of David, a pentacle, use some protection oil or some rosemary oil, and that will stop them, anything evil coming through any mirror.
But somebody like that ex-husband of hers, her ex-boyfriend, whatever.
Black reverse image candle, reverse oil, consecrated in his first and last name. Okay, sending back all of the evil and negativity to him. Then a white female image candle for her. Okay, with protection oil, putting a shield of protection around her, and then revitalizing and rejuvenating the body. Very seriously, discipline-wise, length of time is going to be necessary, but it can be reversed.
Are these accessories to the will, the intent, as important as the will and intent? In other words, do they go hand in hand? These various salts and herbs and all these things you're mentioning, are they as important? Could it be done without the aid of these things, or is it all stronger and then workable with these things? I'd like to know.
As a practitioner, if you are a master, then you can eliminate the tools or the accessories. The novice, the chela, the person who is just a practitioner is going to need to access all of those other forces and vibrations to assist them, to give them more power. If you're drawing down a cone of power, if you're using the waxing, the waning, or a full or a new moon,
right,
are you bringing in, you know, the elements? All of these are necessary to enhance what you're doing, to give you extra power.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But a real master and a practitioner can do it on its own.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini.
Hi, Art. Hi, Evelyn. My name is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. I
am Caucasian, but I work in a Native American medical clinic. I'm a receptionist.
Okay.
And my coworker was being stalked by another Native American man. I stepped in, insulted him, and refused to put his calls through to her. He now has decided that I am the barrier between him and eternal bliss with this other woman. He's a member of the Native American smokehouse tradition. I don't know if you're familiar
with
that.
Yes, I am.
I am not. He told me that he will take me out according to smokehouse tradition. He's placed dog feces on my car. I did go to court. I got a restraining order against the man and just received a call yesterday that the prosecuting attorney want to take him back to court for phone harassment against him, and I've been subpoenaed, and I am very fearful of this man. He has been in jail on two different occasions prior for violent crimes against women. And I do not know this man, but he knows me. He's been calling me at my home and at work and
threatening your life.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's crime.
And I am quite afraid of him and
what he can do.
I don't know what to do.
Evelyn?
Well, first of all, a shield of protection immediately. Okay, that has to be placed upon her. And what you can do is also a ritual to not only expose him, but to see that justice is done, where he is going to be either removed, incarcerated, etc. And that also can be done with a black image candle, and you can use a particular essential oil that will be able to do the job. Have you done meditation and visualization before?
Yes.
Okay, then it would be very easy for you if you have the proper tools. Please give me a call. Be more than happy to tell you what to do and how to do it. Just consecrate it in his first and last name. But the first thing to do is you, honey. Put up a shield of protection around you and put a protection around your environment immediately.
Yes. All right. Yes, the judge told me that I should carry a concealed weapon and mace. He's been jailed on two prior occasions.
Yeah, that's why
I
said we're going to have
yourself.
To do something where he's going to have to get exposed. He's going to do something wrong so we can get him off the streets and get him incarcerated.
She's got to work on this at all kinds of levels.
Yes.
Well,
if she's willing to do it, I will teach her how.
Huh. We have some damn serious calls here.
That's what I'm trying to say, Art. There is so much that is going on out there that if you really open up the lines, you're going to be unbelievably surprised at what is going on.
They're open, all right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini, and unfortunately, not a lot of time alone.
Hi, Art. I'll be quick. Hi, Evelyn. Joe from Boston. I never spoke to you before.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. I want to know if you could be of some assistance to me. I'm totally alone. I'm not like that lady. Nothing seems to go right. I've never been able to get through to you. If you would be willing to at least talk with me, I can get some help. I've been ostracized from my family, and nothing just works right, and especially because of this 911. I wish you could hope you could heal these terrible people, like that man. It's just a girl just spoke, and I wish you could have reached the hijackers before this all happened. But if you would, I'd really appreciate it.
All right. Would you be willing to talk to him, for starters? And the answer is an obvious yes, and you gave out a phone number, and we're running out of time. That phone number is area code 818-783-2995. Again, area code 818-783-2995. The address is Paglini, that's P-A-G-L-I-N-I, P.O. Box 57932, P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, zip code 91413, that's 91413. Is all that accurate, Evelyn?
It is correct.
All right, well then, we've done it again, and there's just not enough time. We will have you on, of course, once again, Evelyn. It has been exceptionally interesting having you on the air.
Thank you so much, and let's talk about using mirrors for invisibility next time.
Oh, she drops that on me right at the end. Invisibility. Evelyn,
thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and you'll be back. Mirrors for invisibility. Of course. Why didn't I think of that earlier? From the high desert. I'm Art Bell. It's Saturday morning. Good night.